Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Real privileged, love our church. You know, there's one other thing going on that we didn't mention, and that's the fact that we're launching our C3 Salt Lake City campus today. In fact, our senior pastor, Pastor Jurgen, is in Salt Lake City right now, just relaunching that incredible church. And so what I love about that, as we're in our Get in the Game series, is we're a part of a church that's growing. We're a part of a church that's winning in our city. We got big vision. This isn't like the go to church, watch some people perform, and check your box church, you know. This is actually a participation sport. We actually want everyone here to get in the game, and you have a role to play. You actually have gifts and talents and abilities that are going to get realized here, and we need you here. There's something special about you that we need on the team. And it's a fun place. It's a winning culture. I'll tell you something I love about God is he wants us to win in this life, not just in the sweet by and by, brother. He actually wants us to experience our best life here. In fact, the Bible says the goodness, we should see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And our heart as a church is for you to experience God's goodness in this life. What my wife and I have found is by volunteering and getting in the game, giving our life to the purpose and the cause of the church has unlocked us. It's actually caused us and allowed us to thrive and flourish in all parts of our life. In fact, my beautiful wife's here. Stand up. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, yes. How does a 5'9" bald guy get a gorgeous wife? I don't even know, you know? But you got my Liverpool jersey on. If I was going to be wearing a jersey, I do want you to know it would be a Liverpool jersey, okay? I got born into a soccer family, and so I'll get into that a little bit later. It's my third service, so it's I'm a little like loopy. One of the areas my wife and I get the privilege to lead in is in Pathfinders. And what's remarkable about Pathfinders is we belong to a church that actually believes we have a responsibility to be successful in every sphere of culture. And we're not just building the church game, the Sunday game. We actually love Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays. We actually believe that we're called to win every day of the week. And God wants us to win every day of the week. And so we get the privilege of leading marketplace giants and champions who are successful and who are stepping into new levels of success in every sphere of culture. We love government and politics and military. We love them. We actually believe God calls people into every sphere of culture. We love arts and entertainment and sports. We don't want you just actually wearing jerseys at church. We actually believe there should be people wearing jerseys on the fields of life and influencing culture. One of my heroes, it's college football season right now. One of my heroes is Dabo Swinney, and he's the coach of Clemson. They won the national championship a couple years ago. Hello! What I love about Dabo is he says, let the light shining in you be greater than the light shining on you. In other words, you're supposed to live on the stages and play on the fields of life where God can shine on you and shine through you so that we can be extraordinary influencers in culture. So we love sports and arts and entertainment. We love media. Right now, the media is like a bad word. We don't trust the media. Well, why not? It's because we're not in it. We actually have a responsibility to be great journalists and be trusted sources of good news in the earth. Take your space in that sphere. We love educators. We love superintendents and teachers. In fact, we just got out of a year where our son Josiah experienced probably the greatest teacher we've ever had in all four of our kids was a fifth grade teacher. She had a remarkable impact on our son's life. We love people that are called into that education space. If that's your passion, do it. We also love business and finance. We love building businesses. We just got awarded the third year in a row, top 100 companies to work for in Seattle. And we actually, by the grace of God, but here's why. We actually believe we're called to build businesses. We're not on staff here. We don't take a salary here. We really don't want to. And it's not because we look down on that. We actually look up on that. We think it's a high calling. It's just not our high calling. The high calling is, what are you called to? You gotta be you. You gotta do you. Be you. The best us is in the marketplace. So as pastors, we don't really like, actually, there's a lot of things as a pastor I don't like. I don't like hospitals. If somebody's in the hospital, I'm sorry. I don't like listening to people who wanna complain. I can't do that. That's not my thing. I don't mind coaching giants that want to go places. Oh, I can do that. I can handle it. But I'm just not a good counselor. I don't like other people's children. I don't. I love my kids. Not too sure about yours. I'm very comfortable being an authentic me. And what I want to use is the things I love and I'm passionate and I'm good at, and I want to volunteer in those places. All right. Okay. Got a great word, I believe. This word I've only shared with our Pathfinders apprentices. Just so you know, our Pathfinders apprentices is young professionals that believe God's actually called them into the spheres of culture and business. And so we're training people here at C3 to be ridiculous in the marketplace, to go crazy, to disrupt industries and build things and build companies and create wealth for the kingdom of God. And so that's my favorite people. If you want to know my favorite place to be, next to the 12, of course, certainly not next to the 8:30, but my favorite people is to get around young champions that have an appetite to make a difference. And so I've only really shared this message with my apprentices, and I felt like I had to ask for their permission if I could break it out at the 12, and they said, okay, as long as you just, don't give it all away. But the message is called Convergence. And what's convergence? Convergence is you experiencing the authentic you, the real you, the one and only you, the amazing you, the remarkable you, the way you're wired. God wired you to work. He didn't intend your life to be dysfunctional. He actually intended your life to function. So convergence is you discovering the real, true, authentic, gifted, and talented you on the pathway that he has determined for you to walk on. He doesn't just have gifts and talents and abilities for you. He doesn't just have somebody amazing for you to be. He has something amazing for you to do. He's actually intended for your life to accomplish something. He has an assignment. Convergence is you being the real you and aligning with the assignment he has for you. But there's more. Convergence is you discovering the people you're supposed to do life with. That's convergence. The authentic me on the authentic path with the authentic people. That's convergence, and that's where we're going. And I'm so pumped to get into this word a little bit. You guys ready to go? Are you sure about that? Brought my son's Revolution Bible. Going to read out of the book of Ephesians today to kick us off. And I love the book of Ephesians. I love the Bible. We built the principles of our businesses on this word. Not just the principles, though, but the power of God's word has sustained our companies and our finances. And so I'm such a believer, and I love the book of Ephesians. If there's any book, if you're not like, haven't figured the word out, or it's like intimidating, it's like, flip, there's like a lot of, where do I begin? You know, I don't know. A killer book to read is the book of Ephesians. I love it. It's only 6 chapters. You can read it in like 20 minutes, and it's a great place to start, okay? Just read it in a good version. Don't go like old King James, okay? God doesn't like speaking, thus thou verily I say unto thee, okay? Just, I don't speak like that, you know? I don't talk to my kids that way. He doesn't talk to us that way, okay? So find a version that you like, okay? I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. I like that version, okay? It's like my language, right? So let's read like God is like relevant today. His word is living and eternal and powerful, but it's also relevant. It's for today. It's for us right now in our life. So I want to get kicked off here in Ephesians 1. I couldn't sum up the whole like book because it would be like we'd be reading the Bible for like 20 minutes, okay? So I snatched like a few verses that sum up this message on convergence and also I think capture a good portion of God's heart for us because God wants us to experience convergence. All right, let's go. You ready? Let's start in verse 4 of Ephesians 1. It says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance and makes everything work according to his plan. I pray, this is Paul praying for us who would read this. I pray that our hearts, that your hearts would be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he's given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. And finally, my convergence verse, 2:10, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things that he planned for us long ago. I know. Don't think the Bible's boring. The Bible is crazy. It's powerful. It's wonderful. It does us well to spend time in it. I find my life better when I'm in it. Just, you know. All right. So, a little backstory. I grew up in a soccer family. You know, anybody like you grew up and parents kind of brainwashed you to think that your sport was the important sport and all their sports were inferior. Well, that's kind of, you know, my story. My dad moved over here from England, from London, and he was a boxer in the army and a meat cutter. He's actually 3 of his fingers are shorter than the others, and that's what happened, and I won't get into that. All right, I shared that one with the 8:30, and it was great. But I don't love them like I love you, so I'm gonna stay away from the missing of digits and get to the good stuff, okay? And so he married my mom, and they met. My mom's from Peterhead, Scotland. Okay, she's 5 foot. My dad's 6'3", and I'm like right in the middle. And she was singing in a nightclub in London, and they met and fell in love and moved to Seattle, okay? And so I know it's crazy. I'm the youngest of 3 kids. Any babies? Any of the youngest here? Okay. Anybody married to the youngest? I apologize. It really is all about us. Yeah. Yeah, it is. And we're really not that responsible. We're the youngest. We're the baby. We're the spoiled ones. Yeah. So that was kind of my lot. And my dad believed there was only one sport worth playing on the planet. Yeah. Soccer. And so we always had like the Sounders at our house. We played darts. I mean, I was like a British kid, grew up British and grew up judging all other sports. Okay. So I apologize. Don't think it's just me that's hating on your pathetic sport. It's just the fact that I was born into an ideology that may or may not be correct. It's just, you know, come on now. And so I appreciate the PSG jerseys, and online, I imagine you guys are all wearing your gear, your soccer gear. But here's a cool story. My dad just turned 80, okay? And one of the things that's pretty cool for my dad is that his grandson has also taken on soccer as his sport of choice, our son Josiah. And he recently got invited to play in Sweden, representing a Southern California team. And it was at the Gothia Cup of Nations, which has 1,700 youth soccer teams at it. It was one of the craziest experiences. And so for my dad's 80th birthday, we decided it would be awesome to take him with us. It was me, my dad, and our son Josiah in Sweden together playing soccer. He got to watch his son, his grandson play soccer. He said it was the greatest trip he's ever been on. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. I got a couple more ahs for you, and I hope they are felt towards me. And the first thing he said when he started watching Josiah play, who's a good player, he said, "Wow, Josiah's a lot faster than you." And the problem was, is there was 7 games. And so I heard that same thing 7 times. And there's something that happens to grandfathers and grandparents. I'm not one yet, but I think they actually love their grandchildren more than their own kids. Yeah, he had no care in the world that I was struggling with the fact that I might have been slow most of my life, and he just brought this to my attention in my 40s. Yeah. Well, anyway, one thing my dad and I share in common is we've always believed that the getting in the game and getting our kids in the game and the game of sports had a lot of benefits. It wasn't just winning games, but there's a lot of things that get worked into us when we get in the game. And so I started to see some parallels as a father who's looking at my children and wanting to develop them to be the best they can be. And I started realizing that God, our Father, actually is a good dad too, who wants to develop us to be everything that he intended us to be. And so, like, let me be honest. Like, I love it. My son's super affectionate. I love getting hugs. I really do, actually. I'm a pretty affectionate guy and big hugger and a lover. And but that's not, like, the only thing I like watching Josiah do, okay? Right. I actually, as a father, I get lit up when he's doing his thing, when he's scoring or just playing his game, being himself. Actually lights me up as a dad, and I started to realize that God's like that too. When we're doing our thing, when we're like our authentic selves, being us, doing our thing, God's like, he enjoys that. He's not like just into you having a quiet time. Oh, they're at church. Awesome. I'm so happy. Oh, they're not at church. Oh, boring. No way. He's like so into us and so into the things we're into. Okay? And so as I was processing this, I was asked by some, I actually got an article from a friend of mine who was being asked, why do you pay so much for youth sports? And I'm going to share the response that I think is really healthy, but I'd like us to interpret it through the lens of what God might say to us and why he wants to get us in the game, okay? But this is one of the reasons why we pay a ridiculous amount of money for our kids. And not just money, it's time. It's like, what do you mean I got to drive another 30 minutes to practice again? It's like our whole life seems sometimes to revolve around this. But here's why. There's some reasoning. It's not just because we want W's on the weekend. We do want those, though. It makes it a little bit easier to palate. One of my friends asked, why do you pay so much money for your kids to do all their sports? Well, I have a confession to make. I don't pay for my kids to do sports. personally, I couldn't care less about what sport they do. That's not true. I'm just reading, okay? I care, but let's just look past that one, okay? The rest of these are on point. So if I'm not paying for sports, what am I paying for? I pay for those moments when my kids become so tired they want to quit, but they don't. I pay for those days when my kids come home from school and are too tired to go to their training, they go anyway. I pay for my kids to learn to be disciplined, focused, and dedicated. I pay for my kids to learn to take care of their body and their equipment. I pay for my kids to learn to work with others and to be good teammates, gracious in defeat, and humble in success. I pray for my kids to learn to deal with disappointment when they don't get that placing or title they'd hoped for, but still go back week after week giving it their best shot. I pay for my kids to learn and make to learn to make and accomplish goals. I pay for my kids to respect not only themselves, but other players, officials, and coaches. I pay for my kids to learn that it takes hours and hours, years and years of hard work and practice to create a champion, and that success doesn't happen overnight. I pay for my kids to be proud of small achievements and to work towards long goals. I pay for the opportunity for my kids have and will have to make lifelong friendships, create lifelong memories, and to be as proud of their achievements as I am. I pay so that my kids can be out on the field instead of in front of a screen. I could go on, but to be short, I don't pay for sports. I pay for the opportunities that sports provides my kids with to develop the attributes that will serve them well throughout their lives and give them the opportunity to bless the lives of others. From what I've seen so far, I think it's a great investment. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, now, I'm gonna tie this in a little bit. See, we have a father who loves us and wants to develop us. He does want big W's next to us. He wants us to experience winning on every stage, in all the chalk lines, whatever you're called to. Whatever you're called, he wants you to experience winning, but he wants to develop healthy people. And so he paid a great price for us. Now, I pay with silver and gold and time and gas money and filling cars and miles and all the exhaustion to get our kids where they want. But God paid for us with something amazing. It wasn't silver and gold. It was the precious blood of his own son that bought us to get us plugged in and live the life he's called us to live on the field he's called us to win on with the people he's called us to win on. Yes, yes, yes. And so why would he pay such a price for us? Why? And I want to get into that. It's called convergence. We good? Yeah. We good? I do got to say before I get into this that not everyone in our family's excited about soccer. We have a daughter. She's 8. You know, we just finished moving, and when you move, you pull out stuff you haven't looked at for a long time. You know what I mean? So we found this thing that she had done in second grade, and it's the layers of me, it's called. Layers of me. It's about the crust of the earth and how it ties to the crust of my heart. It's pretty moving. I won't share all the details with you, but there's something quite remarkable in here, and it has to do with how she feels about Josiah's soccer games. So, yesterday was day we had to go. We had to drive to Chula Vista. We played Chula Vista FC. And Bethany had to come with us. So she brought to us and put before us this project she did last year. And this is what it says. This is what it says. This is how she feels. Okay? When I do art, I feel peaceful and smart with love. When I'm at a game of soccer, I feel hurt and crowded with nothing nice. She's good. She's good. She's dramatic and almost moved us to leave her home, but. (Clears throat) convergence. Remember, convergence is the progressing discovery of the true you. Walking on the remarkable paths of God's unfolding and perfect will alongside the people he's intended you to do life with. So let's break into this true you. You know, a lot of us, including me, spent most of my life not being an authentic version of myself, okay? Trying to be the one you wanted me to be, but selling myself every time for your approval and discounting who I was. And so most of my life I spent not being me, but being the me that I thought you wanted me to be, not knowing all along you just wanted me to be the real me. But I was confused, thinking the real me wasn't enough, so I tried to be a you that you would accept, and therefore I became an empty version of me. Just, you know, that's me. And remember, I'm the baby, and it's all about me. So, I'm just kidding. It's actually all about you becoming the best version of you. You see, we pay a big price to help our son become the best version of himself, but it has nothing compared to the price God paid with his own son for you to become the best version of yourself. He's longing for you to be an authentic you, a real you, a genuine you. And so convergence is experiencing your most authentic self, your most confident self, your 100% all-in self, your completely forgiven self, your healed self, your faith-filled self, your perfectly loved self, your prosperous self, your creative self, talented self, your empowered self, your self-respected self, your actualized self, your energized, your passionate self, your disciplined and driven self, your fully functioning self, your highly productive self. This is the you God bought. You see, we're not just broken and forgiven. Why do I always see that on a broken down bumper sticker car? Why is that the place you always see, like, jacked up theology about, yeah, I don't have any responsibility to change, but I'm going to heaven, you know. The rest of you got to deal with my hell in your world, but you know what? I'm forgiven. You know, nothing else is working, but at least I'm forgiven. Come on, God, you know, it's true. There's truth in that, okay? You see, our testimony is true where we came out of, okay? We came out of some broken places. We came out of some things that, we came out of darkness. Ignorance, foolishness. I don't know about you, but my life before God, it wasn't working. And when you have a very selfish person who's very dysfunctional, you create a lot of mess, okay? And so, but what I was bought for was to be the real me, not a dysfunctional me that's forgiven, but a fully functioning me. And my question is, what does a fully functioning you look like? I mean, the real you. Come on. What do you bring to the table? What do you bring to your family, to your workplace, to the teams here? Come on, God is after that. He paid a great price for it. He's dreaming about you being the real you. But it's more than that. It's not just you being your best authentic self. There's more to convergence. That's a critical part of convergence. Convergence is more than you just being awesome. But let me say this. He wants you to be awesome. He created you to be awesome. You're created in his likeness. Your original intent is to be awesome, yeah. Sin, the fall, failure, disappointment, broken families. Yeah, there's craziness all around us, and we find ourselves in broken places. But that's why he sent Jesus. Not to just get you to heaven, but to get heaven into your world so you can start to look like his original intent for us. The world needs us to be fixed and functional. What if we just showed up in the life we're in functioning? Creative, smart, brilliant, talented. What if we spent more time working on our strengths instead of beating ourselves up for where we're weak? What if we spent more time cultivating our honest, the gifts we have, the strengths we have? Come on, we're made special. We got gifts and strengths and talents. God loves to see us do our thing. But there's more. Convergence is more than you just being your awesome self. Trust me, that's how he made you and that's how he intends us to function. Convergence is discovering his amazing plans. He has an amazing assignment for you. He's wired you for it. He's wired you to win, absolutely. put gifts and talents inside of you that no one else has, given you a bag of goods that no one else has, but it's designed to find itself on a path that he predetermined for you to walk on. He's actually got gifts and talents and abilities that can only be realized when we get on the right path. And I think, I'll tell you something, there's a lot of talented people that want to use their abilities to do their own thing. And that's fine. It's better than not using your abilities and doing nothing. But what if you could bring all your abilities onto God's path for you? Do you think he has a good path? Let me just get back to my daughter, who hates soccer, obviously. Do you think, as a father, a good father, that I want her to have to endure soccer? Or do you think I'm more interested in the first part of her dramatic statement? How she feels when she does art. As a father, as a good father, I dream about my daughter in that place where she's her real self, her authentic self. That's my dream for her. My dream for her is to be an artist, not a soccer player. She hates it. I think sometimes that's what we think God is. Let me ask a question. Does anybody in here just like hate cats? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Cats don't go to heaven. No cats in heaven. Sorry, man. Nope. They'll be in hell. They'll be there. No. Let me say something about God. If you can't stand cats, he doesn't want you to have one. And I think sometimes we think God's like weird. Like, if I tell him the one thing I don't want to do, that's where he's going to send me. I can't stand Zimbabwe. And like somehow God's going to be like, let's send him to Zimbabwe. I think he could learn some lessons there. Let me tell you something. When you're doing the thing you do well on the path God's called you to, trust me, there'll be enough things that humble you, enough things that drive you to your knees, enough things that make you need God. Trust me. You don't have to be doing a bunch of stuff you hate to learn lessons. God has a plan. It's a good plan. He scripted a life for you that's actually designed for all the gifts you have to function on it. He actually has a great works for you to walk in that he prepared beforehand and actually purchased beforehand. I'm telling you, the life God's intended, the convergence life, the life where I'm my authentic self and I've discovered the real plan that God has for my life on this planet. You know what I found is they kind of work together really well. When I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, the real me comes out. When the real me comes out, I stop doing the stuff I'm not good at, and I start doing the things I'm really good at. Come on. God wants you doing the things you're actually good at. But there's more to convergence, you know. There is. One of my favorite parts, and convergence is you becoming your best self. Yep, smack dab in the middle of God's perfectly unfolding will for your life. But there's one more thing that convergence entails. It's life lived with the most amazing people. People that he has intended you and us to do life with. Trustworthy people. Loving people. Inspiring people. Authentic people. Relating to my struggles people. Appreciating my strengths people. Trusting in me people. Depending on me. Not intimidated by me, people. Call me on my ish, people. Challenge me, people. There for me when I do something stupid. Again, people. Believe in me, people. Love me, people. Like me, people. Benefit from my life, people. Wouldn't be the same without me in their life, people. Appreciate my talents, people. Benefit from my insight, people. Like my opinions, people. This is the good one. Laugh at my jokes, people. This is why I like the 12 service. I'm not that funny, but the 12, like, works with me. They work with me. And I appreciate it. That's why you're my people. It's your, yep. You know, imagine you being your authentic self and you have discovering the perfect plan that God has for your life. And he doesn't want you to live in darkness and confusion. He actually wants you to discover what it is he created you for. Imagine, so you're being your authentic self on the actual plan he has for you, and you're with people that love you and believe in you and think you're special. You got home court advantage. You know, it's interesting. There's a stadium, I think it's in Switzerland or Sweden, where, like, a ridiculous amount of world records have been set. And they studied, like, track world records. Okay, people somehow run faster there, jump farther there, pole vault to new heights there. And it's so fascinating with the amount of different stadiums that host events like this. They decided to study, well, what is it about this particular stadium that is producing so many world record times, and why, what is it about this stadium? And they thought, well, maybe it's the altitude. Maybe there's some kind of, like, wind that moves through the stadium. I mean, come on. I mean, when you see an extraordinary amount of records being set somewhere, you got to look at, well, what's, why? And you know what they found? There was no, like, climate changes or atmosphere changes or altitude changes or humidity changes. There was nothing in the weather or the track conditions that contributed to world records being broken. But you know what they did find? The people were pushed up really close to the lanes of the track, and they were, like, cheering them on and encouraging them, and there was an atmosphere, a home court advantage, that caused people to perform at higher levels than they did at normal circumstances. And you know, I started thinking about it. I'm thinking, you know, that's what God wants. He wants us to have, like, a home court advantage. You know, that's what I want. When our kids come home and they didn't play well that day, or they had a rough day at school, or things just didn't go well, I want them to feel like, hey, you got home court advantage here, son. You got a home court advantage here, Bethany. We love you. We care about you. You know, that's what God has. Yeah, he wants an authentic you, a real you. He does want you running in your lane. He does want you doing your event, your sport, whatever it is. Be you. What do you like? What do you not like? I shared the things I don't like. There's more. But what I've really grown comfortable with is there's a lot of things that I'm actually really good at. I'm going to do those. Stay in my lane, run my race. But I'm surrounded by people that believe in me. And guess what? God wants you around your people. He's got people for you. That's convergence. The real you doing God's thing with God's people for you. What could you become if you experience convergence? And let me get back to this, and we're closing right now. Thank you, Bethany, for your insight into art. And thank you, Dad, for reminding me that the reason I got cut from my 10 and 11-year-old team is because I was slow. I was trying to figure that out for the last 30-some years. Like, what happened, you know? Interesting, though, when I did get cut from that team, it did send me into thinking maybe there was something wrong with me, and set off a need for approval, a need for, you know, a need to try to fit in, thinking I wasn't good enough, thinking maybe, you know, here somebody's really good and I obviously don't measure up to them. And so I, you know, that set off something in me where I really started striving for approval. And I think a lot of us, honestly, if we were all honest, I think the person that probably questions us the most is us. We doubt ourselves, and we look at our lens sometimes through our failures more than the things we're gifted at. But God wants us to process all of our life through, number one, his love for us, his purchase price of us. He didn't buy me because I made the team. He bought me because he wanted me on his team. And when I responded to his love for me and his place for me, I'm pretty stubborn. I think I know better sometimes. I don't know about you, but the more I do it my way, the more I find myself eventually frustrated. God would love for you to be an authentic version of yourself, surrendered to the plan he has for us, and also begin to let the people into our world that are really going to make us remarkable. So right now, I want to ask you, where are you at? Maybe you can close your eyes, bow your heads. It's kind of like the prayer time. Where are you at on this journey? Would you say that we get to see the real you? Do we get the real you, the authentic you, the special you, the gifted you, the talented you? The no one else like you, you. The blood bought you, the one Jesus bought, the one he created and formed like nobody else. The one that's not, you know, I live with two kids that are completely different, but they're both remarkable. Neither one's better than the other. They're just different. And I don't compare Bethany to Josiah, and I don't compare Josiah to Bethany or to our other boys. What we do is we say that Bethany is unique and special and amazing in her own right. And I love her and I celebrate her and I want her to be authentic. And I think that's how our Father is right now. And so I think a lot of us struggle with comparison, and we're always looking at how our life measures up to everybody else's life and how far along they are and how far along I'm not. But the reality is God just wants you because he loves you. And he wants you to be you. So if you're here and you're maybe wrestling like I wrestled most of my life, I wrestled with insecurity, need for approval, you name it, all the gamuts of rejection, until I found somebody that loved me for who I was and found a people that believed in me and didn't want me to be somebody I wasn't. Where are you? I think today's a great day to respond to, number one, a God that loves you, wants you doing your thing, and actually created a life that works for you, one you'll thrive in, one you'll enjoy. I didn't say it would be easy. He didn't create, come on. Who wants easy? I mean, that's not, there's no heroes in easy. You don't watch movies about stuff that's easy. This isn't a promise that things are gonna get easy. It's just that you're up for the challenge, and the things he's put inside of you are more than enough with his help to accomplish the things he's called you to do, okay? So if you're here today and, you know, maybe you're like me and you're kind of done trying to be everybody else's version of yourself, but you're ready to kind of be the real version, and you know God's the only way, the only one who's bought you with a price that has the power to free you to be who you really are. This isn't a self-help book. This isn't just do five things and be the real you. This is encounter the one who loves you and bought you and let him transform you into the new person, the original intent. If you're here and you know that's you, you know there's a real you that needs to be unleashed to the world. If you could just do me a favor, just lift your hand.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.